people already getting welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike and Steve. I'm just kidding. Listen, we've heard the complaints. We understand. Enough with the sports. We're going to keep it to a minimum. But for this one last time, at least, well, maybe not the last time, Steven wants to address his Phillies, who looked so dominant, who just fell short.
I don't want to.
Well, I feel like
you want to address anything. I don't. That was awful. But it is, yeah, exactly like I said. It's terrible when you lose like that and collapse like that. It's exactly as awful as I thought it was going to be. So can never talk about Philly sports again if you want.
It's
too painful anyway.
Until your Eagles are about to go to the Super Bowl, then you're going to hear it again in this space. This is not Sports Talk, folks. This is the Gutowski Files, and it is, as always, starring Stephen Gutowski. I don't know if I mentioned it recently, but Stephen is the founder of TheReload.com. He is the editor-in-chief. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And the host of the weekly Reload podcast. He's a man of many parts. He wears a lot of hats, and we appreciate him coming on the show that we named after him. Anyway, this week we are talking about an article over at TheReload.com by our Stephen Gutowski, and the headline is Gun Group Says Ruling Against California Gun Show Ban Prevents Culture Side. So, Stephen, why don't you start by telling us what was California attempting to do with this sort of ban of gun shows or gun events on public property, and then what happened in court?
Yeah, well, essentially, you know, California, there's a number of these large public grounds where they have fairs and things like that. And one of the things that's common are for them to host gun shows.
Mm-hmm.
They sign contracts with gun show hosting companies, and they have big gun shows in Orange County and elsewhere in the state. And essentially, state lawmakers didn't like that. Obviously, California's broadly controlled by the Democratic Party and tends to be on the stricter, if not strictest in the nation side of things mm-hmm. when it comes to gun laws. So recently they passed a pair of laws that made it so that public grounds can't host gun shows and that officials responsible for administrating those public grounds can't sign contracts with gun show companies, essentially. Of course, California, it's a bit odd too, because California also, they have a 10-day waiting period when you go to buy a gun. So gun shows in California are already quite a bit different from a lot of other states where they don't have that sort of waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause really all you do at a gun show, it's almost like buying a gun online, right? Where, you can buy the gun from a dealer online, but then it has to be shipped to your local gun dealer where you actually go in and fill out the background check and pay a transfer fee and things like that. That's mm-hmm. kind of how gun shows work in California, except it's face to face. You go in and there are guns, you can look at them and talk, all the stuff you would do at a gun show elsewhere, but you can't walk out with a gun that day.
Okay.
You have to, it's sort of more of a, you're more setting up an arrangement where you're going to buy the gun. I think you can pay for it, but you can't pick it up until 10 days later, under California law. So anyway, they already has a number of restrictions that you don't get necessarily, elsewhere. You can't do, obviously the private sales are also have to be run through dealers, because they have a universal background checks, law in California. So that aspect of gun shows is different there as well. But this law was focused on just kind of trying to ensure that these events don't happen on public property at all anymore. And so that was what the judge ruled against. He found that sort of regulation, it violates not just the Second Amendment, but actually also the First Amendment in this case.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the article right now over at TheReload.com. It says on Monday, U.S. District Court Judge John W. Holcomb issued a preliminary injunction stopping California from enforcing its ban. So one thing I'm not sure about is, was the ban in effect? So for example, so up until this judge's ruling, was it technically illegal for people to schedule these gun shows on public property?
Yeah. And, the judge also in this case denied a request for a stay from the California government, which means that this ruling will go into effect immediately. Of course, we're waiting for confirmation that California is going to appeal this ruling. They most likely will, and they'll probably request a stay from the appeals court, which has traditionally granted stays of that nature. So we'll, whether or not any gun shows will actually happen on public property as this fight continues on in the courts, I think is still a pretty open question, because obviously it also takes several months to get these things organized in most cases. And so even though you have this ruling, it's not as though, you know, the public grounds nearby people in California are going to start hosting gun shows tomorrow. But it is a significant legal victory.
So maybe we can explain for the good people, because I, you know, there could be a lot of folks listening who aren't, just don't understand how the legal process works. So I kind of want to get into that a little bit without getting too deep in the weeds. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people hear a story like this and they're like, okay, a judge has ruled X, therefore X is now the law. And that's not exactly how it works. So this is right. A law that California passed, their legislature passed, and the governor signed, right? And then somebody in California or a group of people in California said, we don't like this law. So they took the state of California to court to challenge this law. Is that accurate?
Yes, the federal court in particular. Obviously, you also have state courts there that are governed by state law and the mm-hmm. state constitution. This is a federal case, so it's governed by the federal constitution and the Second Amendment. And also the First Amendment that comes into play here, because you know, they argued that they were sort of restricting speech by canceling these gun shows, especially with the fact that gun sales don't actually physically happen during these things.
Right.
So it's more of a sort of a agreement between two parties that involves you know, them using speech.
What, does First Amendment cover freedom of association? I can't remember. I think it does.
First Amendment does. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, that's I think that would also come into play. You know, people want to gather in a public place to do a legal activity, yeah. an otherwise legal activity, and the government's telling them they can't. So,
but this is a federal case,
right?
In the federal courts, dealing with the federal constitution and the protections that it bestows on everyone in the state of California and elsewhere. But so, you know, when you get a ruling like this, a preliminary injunction is actually not even a ruling on the merits per se. It's the law hasn't been struck down. It's actually a finding that basically is the early stage of the case where the plaintiffs are trying to get this law blocked from being enforced. So that, you know, California can't go around preventing these gun shows from happening. And, you know, if this ruling, remains in place. So, what you're seeing a judge look at, it's kind of, if you're not a lawyer, and I'm not a lawyer, but I obviously I've been writing about.
But you stated Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yeah. So I understand how they work. And some of these legal distinctions are kind of going to maybe sound almost silly to people, but basically a preliminary injunction is the finding that the judge is looking at the arguments from both sides in the case about this law and whether it violates the Second Amendment or the First Amendment. And he's looking at all the precedents from previous rulings, both from the Supreme Court and inside of the circuit, the specific circuit that he's in, because the federal courts are split up in a bunch of different circuits that only cover certain states. So this is the Ninth Circuit, which is pretty famous because it's California and it's fairly liberal.
Infamous.
Right. And so, you know, the judge is trying to look at these different precedents and the law and whether, you know, how they all work together. And he's not ruling, he's not giving a final ruling. He's right. saying he thinks that they've met this certain standard for issuing a preliminary injunction because he thinks that they're likely to win on these arguments in the next phase of the trial.
Right. In fact, that brings me to a quote in your story. Quote, after reviewing the party's extensive briefing and conducting a hearing on the motion, the court concludes the plaintiffs have established that they are likely to succeed on the merits of their constitutional claims and that they have satisfied the other requirements for injunctive relief. So I guess what I'm trying to let everyone know at home is this is a temporary measure. This is not the end of the story for this case.
You can see why these get news coverage. One, they have a practical effect in that an injunction blocks the state from enforcing its law. And two, it's kind of like, it's very unlikely that the judge is going to change his opinion when they get to the merits part of the case, because he's already looked at all the arguments and he's saying, oh, I think these people, this side is likely to win. So I'm going to let them have this injunction to block enforcement, or I think they're not likely to win, so I'm not going to issue an injunction. And it's very rare that they change their minds from one step to the next. Plus, the other aspect of it is that then once that ruling has been handed down on the preliminary injunction, the parties can appeal that, right? Mm-hmm. So the California hasn't announced they're going to appeal this yet, but you can sort of see from the governor's comments in my piece that they probably will. They have almost every time when it comes to a gun law in the past, when they've had a ruling against them, they almost always appeal. And so this case will move up the chain in federal court before you even get to that merits ruling. And the next thing you'll probably see is the state appeal this decision, and then they'll ask for, like I said earlier, a stay from the higher court that basically lets the law go back into effect while the case is litigated. Because this judge, he was a Trump appointee, Judge Holcomb, he denied the stay that the state requested, because you can request it from the judge who makes the ruling himself. And oftentimes they'll grant one. Mm-hmm. Judges tend to want to leave the status quo in place as a court process plays out, so that things aren't changing on the ground back and forth a bunch.
Right.
And so in this case, the judge said that they just didn't meet the standard needed for a stay, and that, you know, that implicates constitutional rights, which, the courts tend to give a lot of deference to protecting constitutional rights, sort of the whole point of the courts, obviously. But so we'll see what happens with that. I think it's likely that a stay will get issued on appeal, but we don't know. We'll have to see what comes next on that front.
The next thing I wanted to talk about real quick is some of the rhetoric, and this is my opinion as a non-reporter, but some of the rhetoric from the governor and his office, I found to be a little over the top. And let me give you a quote here from your story, which you've obviously heard, so our listeners need to hear it. Governor Gavin Newsom, who was attempting to organize a constitutional convention to partially repeal the Second Amendment, wow, has lobbied personal attacks at District Court Judge Roger Benitez, who's a good man, by the way, over several of the judge's rulings against the state gun laws. He labeled Benitez, and here's the quote, an extremist right-wing zealot with no regard for human life. It's just, and then he tweeted back in September, quote, wake up, America. Our gun safety laws will continue to be thrown out by NRA owned federal judges until we pass a constitutional amendment to protect our kids and end the gun violence epidemic in America, which is all a bunch of nonsense in my opinion, but a little over the top. Wouldn't you agree? Some of that stuff.
Yeah. So this, the other thing about this ruling is that it's the next in a series of rulings against California's gun laws in the wake of that Supreme Court case that we've talked a lot about over the last, several episodes, really going back to until last year when the case was handed down, mm-hmm. In Bruin, right? New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin changed the standard for how gun cases are supposed to be judged. And California, having some of the strictest laws in the country, has found itself on the other side of these rulings in a lot of cases since then. And so the governor there, who was obviously a very staunch gun control advocate, to say the least, mm-hmm. he is currently trying to amend the Constitution to partially repeal the Second Amendment. So his beliefs are pretty, well known at this point. He has been extremely, I guess, vindictive people can put whatever label they want on it. You heard mm-hmm. the comments towards some of these judges, especially Roger Benitez, because he has been the one at the center of a lot of these cases. They've right. come through his court. Now, this case was not Roger Benitez. This was John, I believe his name is John Holcomb.
Correct.
And so, but the governor had a very similar reaction to his ruling as well. He said almost the same thing. He said he told the Reload, his office responded to us and said, quote, yet again, an extremist Trump appointed judge has prioritized the bidding of the gun lobby over common sense. California will continue to defend our life-saving laws. And I think this has also gotten some notice from gun rights advocates, the way that the governor has defaulted to blaming these judges mm-hmm. when they lose in court, when the state loses, because we had Chuck Michel, who is the president of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Now, they're one of the groups that brought this suit against the gun show ban. And he said, quote, Newsom has his list of judges that he wants to mischaracterize as ideologues. This is another judge that gets it right. So I guess he's going to have a long list of judges to blame for his own failures. So, you know, the Newsom's opponents are certainly, I guess, kind of mocking him at this point for how he responds to these laws being struck down.
Yeah, I would concur with that assessment entirely. Before we let you go here, I am looking, where did it go? Your podcast, the Weekly Reload podcast, is a thing. Folks, it's kind of like when you open up Netflix and it says, if you liked this movie, you'll love this movie. So if you like this segment, you will love the Reload podcast. So go check that out. Stephen, who was on this week?
This week we had the president of the Virginia Citizens Defense League, mm-hmm. Philip Van Cleve, on. He is, you know, a very prominent gun rights activist in Virginia, which is actually going to have its elections in less than a week here. I live in Virginia too, so but he is more of the on the ground expert on the gun rights side, and so we had him on to discuss the upcoming elections, which actually could have very significant impacts on the state's gun policies, and could have, you know, they could tell you a lot about the national direction as well, because you're sort of getting, that's often the case in these off-year elections. You see maybe a little bit of a preview of what might happen next year in the presidential election.
As goes Virginia, so goes the country.
Yeah. You know, potentially, at least people use it as a sort of bellwether.
Yep.
New Jersey has them as well. In Virginia, though, there's the Republicans control the governorship and the House, but Democrats control the Senate. If Republicans take that Senate control back, they are very likely to repeal some of the gun control laws that were put in place by Democrats when they had full control back in 2020.
Very good. Folks, if you are lamenting the lack, and there is a lack, of down the middle, sane, sober reporting on the Second Amendment and all things gun related, go over to the Reload.com. It's thereload.com, and consider getting a membership. You know, for the less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can help Stephen. I'm barely kidding, actually. way less than that. You can help Stephen continue his important work, bringing us the stories and the nuance and the stuff that isn't always very sexy and doesn't make, you know, the headlines on CNN and Fox, but is important day-to-day stuff, you know, that's being covered over there in a way it's not being covered anywhere else that I'm aware of anyway. So go over to thereload.com, consider getting a membership. We'll try to avoid sports talk in the future. We got a lot. We got letters. We got letters about all that. So we'll do our best. But you know, if the Eagles get to the Super Bowl, you're going to hear more about sports at some point. But that's not for a few more months.
We probably went a little overboard last week, for sure. Especially starting with it, I'm sure people.
What the heck?
Wait! This is not what this episode was supposed to be about.
Now, what this should tell you is, you know, I don't know if people know this, but Active Self Protection, the main channel and the extra channel, John and Steph and Neil have hired very good, very attentive, like literally full time people who read the comments. So part of their job, obviously, is to weed out, you know, hateful, racist, sexist stuff like that, whatever. But on top of that, you know, if there's an important comment, an intelligent comment, it'll be brought to someone's attention. If it's about me, it'll be brought to my attention, and I'll be aware of it. And we got some comments over at Spotify about the sports stuff. So jokes aside, we'll keep that to a minimum. We get it. That's not what this podcast is about. After saying all of that,
now I feel like we're talking about not doing it way too. Like now the half the podcast is about how we're not going to talk about.
Yeah, could you please not talk about talking about sports? Okay, I'm just going cross-eyed. All right, let's wrap this up before we go down any more rabbit holes. As Stephen, as always, sir, you have the last word.
Absolutely.